crackers to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll sue you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. The CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leave you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack.
This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RAMs, SIPs, SIPs. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Binary Revolution Radio, episode 26, coming at ya Tuesday, December 30th, 2-0-0 Trace. So this is the last episode for the year 2003. Next week, we'll see on the flip side, 2004. But in the meantime, during this holiday break, while we've got a little time off, we have a very special co-host.
What year is it? Oh, man, last time I fell asleep, shit, it was all crazy. There's like, PDs and stuff. Is there flying cars yet? There might be flying cars.
Well, there were flying cars in the Hulk movie, which sucked, by the way. But no, we still don't have any flying cars.
Shit, I'm going to go back to sleep.
We have wireless internet.
Oh, okay, I'll stay around.
All right, that's good. And in case people don't recognize your voice, maybe new listeners that weren't around in the beginning.
Yeah, you know, they've been staying true. They just kind of like the fad listeners. They just like, oh, this is cool.
Well, maybe they just didn't quite pick up on us until later on in the series, more recently.
Well,
I'll
give them the benefit of the doubt.
They haven't gone back and listened to the past episode starring the voice you hear, the one, the only, well, not the only, but...
Yay, yay, Wintermute.
In the house.
The house.
Oh, we haven't got to do that in a long time.
Oh, yeah. I've made a lot of the trademark things.
We got to start using that one again more often. We kind of finally let that fall off because we've beaten that into the ground.
Yeah.
Just like the word...
You pip it off my segue usage?
I still do occasionally. I don't think anybody else gets it. I don't think anybody else is catching that reference. But every time I get a chance to, yeah, I'll give it a little segue shout. I saw one, by the way, in my mall. The mall, well, not my mall, the mall near where I work, I should say, which is in a very ritzy part of town, if you want to say. Is that a good word? It's over in the rich bitch neighborhood. Wait, that's not a bad word. That's a female dog. I can say that one.
There you go.
That doesn't fall under the bad words limit. It's over in the rich person neighborhood. And I saw some old lady, she must have been, I don't know, 60 years old, spinning through the mall on a Segway. She was just like window shopping, like driving up to each window and just looking in the window. In the mall with a Segway.
It's laziness to an extreme.
Segway! Yeah, I gave her a little shout, but she didn't even look. She was just too... She was up on her Segway with her nose in the air. Now, I don't get this, though. How can they allow a Segway in the mall, but you can't have skateboards or skates or anything, rollerblades or like anything like that?
Yeah, that's too energetic. So you probably hurt yourself more on a Segway, but, you know, just the skateboard.
Who's more dangerous? Somebody who rides a skateboard all the time and is good at it and has balance and practices all the time, or a 60-year-old lady on a Segway device that's been proven to be unstable.
Yeah, well, if
I'll take my chances.
She's right next to a stairwell. She's gone.
Oh, man. And then they'll want to sue them all over it, probably.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Oh. Anyway, how are you going to ride a Segway through the mall? That is just the ultimate Richie Rich added. Ugh. Well, then again, where else are you going to ride a Segway?
That's true. I mean, that's like the only legal place, probably.
Well, I'm sure that if it starts to become popular or some people actually start doing it, they'll ban it.
Yeah, they ban everything that's good.
Yeah, they'll ban it along with this. No skateboards, no rollerblades, no Segways. Pretty soon it's going to be so you can't run through the mall naked anymore, you know?
Well, yeah, well, shit, man, that was some good times.
Yeah, nude mole walking sport's going to just drop off the face of the planet.
All right, let's do a show. I mean, come on.
Show? Oh, yeah, we tape. Oh, my gosh, we're taping.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Actually, joking aside, we have a lot of stuff to cover today. Obviously, I'm going to say again, Mute's back on the show, off for vacation, so you got some time to do a lot of this stuff, so it's good to have you back on the show. Honestly, this is the first time since, episode 4 or 5?
Yeah,
3?
Something like that.
Long time, so don't be a stranger, man, don't be a stranger.
I'll be back.
Now, I have one email that I wanted to talk about. Somebody, they didn't give a handle, their real name, I presume their real name was in the email, so I'm not going to mention that, but, they sent me an email notifying me of a Linux distribution called FLAC, P-H-L-A-K, FLAC, which stands for Professional Hackers Linux Assault Kit. It's a modular live security Linux distribution. Live, of course, meaning bootable from the CD. There's no installation, just like Nofix or Morphix. Did you just hang up on me in the middle? I'm going to keep on going because I'm sure he'll call back. But it's based on Morphix, which is a bootable distribution, and FLAC is based on Morphix to begin with. Mute hotline.
Dude, this VOD is not good. All right, keep rolling.
See, Mute, for the listeners, we're not stopping. We're going through with this. Mute is on his Vonage phone, and
I'm using the landline now. This is just bullshit.
Yeah, that's going to get annoying. How many times? Let's play a game. Early in the show, go ahead and IRC, take bets on how many times you think Mute's going to drop during the show. That's one so far, and actually, we had to stop 2 or 3 times earlier, so one that counts.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was continuing on for the listeners about FLAC. I don't know exactly when you dropped off, but it's based on Morphix. It's a live bootable distro like Nofix or anything else. It's based on Morphix, and it comes with a lot of security tools and stuff built into it. So I went to the website, did some initial investigation on it, and it really looks interesting. It looks like it could be impressive. It's another distro that's in its infancy. It's not really fully developed or anything yet. So, you know, I'm sure the longer it sticks around and the longer they work on it, the more of it's going to evolve. If anybody actually has some experience using it, feel free to email and let us know, radio@binrev.com, and maybe I'll get Bland, our resident distro whore, to check it out for us in the meantime, or maybe I'll throw it on a box and see what I can come up with, but time lately has not been a luxury I've been able to afford. However, into our personal stories for the week, I did get time to do something I've been complaining about for a few episodes now. If you remember back on episode 23, 24, how incredibly angry I was at AIM forcing streaming video and music, some movie trailer built into the AIM client. I finally had enough of it. I booted it up this past weekend. Not only did I get streaming video, streaming movie, but I also got a freaking pop-up ad. It popped up a IE window on me for the movie that was playing. That's it. That's ridiculous. That's too much. I know. It makes me sick too, Mute. Does it make you sick? Because it sounds like, you know, it's just making you sick.
Yeah, it's just bad. It's just bad in here.
I can't. That's so evil.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're just going to turn people away.
I'm so exercising so much self-control right now. I can't even. All I can say is burn in hell AOL. I'm done. I'm done with it. I installed Trillian. Even though I got tired of Trillian, had some problems with it in the past, and I gave up on it and went back to the originals, I'm going back to Trillian now. I am not going to. I don't need any more freaking pop-ups shoved on me. I mean, that's ridiculous. So, I am using Trillian again at home, and as soon as I get some time at work, I probably will do the same thing there. So, I recommend everybody do the same thing. Show AOL that they think they have this install base, and these people get into their head, we have X million install base of this, so we can do what we want to them. They're not going anywhere. Guess what? We will go somewhere. I'll go somewhere anyway. I wonder how many other people are going to get so mad and so many pop-ups. especially unattended pop-ups like that. People leave their instant messengers up and walk off to another room or something, and now they're going to come back and find pop-ups waiting for them? That's the most horrible feeling. Ugh. Anyway, I installed Trillium. I'm done with them. I'm done with them. They can burn in hell. I hate them. Other than that, also over the holiday, I had some time as well, and I finally, and Mute even asked me this earlier on the phone today when we were just chatting, is there still a Binary Revolution magazine? Well, yes, there is. It's just coming along slowly, and we say on the show all the time about how far behind it is. Well, I have good news for a change. I finally finished editing the 1.3 articles. We are going to begin the layout process. It's starting. It may have started. I haven't talked to Logan in a couple days, but we've already bounced off some of the layout ideas. It's just a matter of putting it together, which is no easy task, mind you, so it's still a little ways off. But yes, 1.3 is in production and is coming along finally. I mean, people, we've said this all along, and I hope people understand that this is, you know, a bunch of guys doing this. We're working on this together. Everybody has a part to do, but everybody in DDP has a full-time job or they go to school all day. I mean, we said earlier, you haven't been on the show since, like, episode 4 or 5 or 6. Well, it's because there are more important things. I have to, you know, really, real life is more important than this magazine. I love the magazine, and we're going to try to get it out quarterly or as best we can, but this is not our profession, so to speak. We're not making any money, that's for sure. So, hope that everybody can understand that and deal with it a little bit. We are getting it out. It'll be out soon. You can already start submitting articles for the next one so that we won't be behind on the next one. If you've got some article ideas or you got some articles you want to submit, you can send those to articles@binrev.com. We'll go ahead and start taking them now, start taking them early. And I know, Mute, you and I were talking about you putting something in. So anybody wants to send it in, go ahead and start now. And I guess that's what, I guess I probably should just come out and officially announce that the quarterly is not working out too well.
We knew that from the beginning we weren't going to be quarterly.
Yeah, we said we were going to try, and I really thought we could. I really did, but I guess I said, let's be realistic. We all work. Quarterly is our goal, but officially we're just going to call it periodically.
If we were an e-zine, it would be easy. That's the whole point of an e-zine. We're not trying to be easy.
Right. We're
trying to be thoughtful and I mean, good. I mean, we want to step up to the next level. And
right.
Since we can't make money, we can't make enough money to not work at the magazine, we have to do other things and then put the magazine in the second position.
Yes, that is the truth. And
so, I mean, and when you get it, you're like, damn, this is good stuff. Well, yeah, but if we had another a million people saying that it was, damn, this is good stuff, then yes, we could focus on it, but we can't.
Well, and hopefully, if it continues to grow, which it's, you know, we're growing, there are more people, more listeners to the radio show, more people getting the magazine each day, but until it gets to a point where it's going to be able to take care of itself somewhat, where we can afford to pay people and hire people to help out and get the magazine off the ground, that's still a good ways off. Right now, it's still a basement project done by some guys in their free time. And we're just going to have to do the best we can and, like I said, hope people understand. So we are officially, periodically from now on, we're going to get it out as often as we can. Hey, maybe we'll make it quarterly. Maybe we'll get it on the ball. But, yeah, it's tough. It's tough. Articles, finding good articles, you know, editing through and picking out stuff that makes the cut, for lack of a better term. You know, we got to get more people writing and submitting articles to us. I know there's a lot of e-zines popping up out there. There's a lot of other printed magazines coming around. There's not enough writers out there to get all the good information. I mean, even 2600 Magazine, a lot of people have said that the quality of some of their writing has gone down. We won't go into that on the air, but, you know, everybody's having problems right now. So, I don't know. I hope the hacking community is not dwindling. Is that the case?
No.
I really still think it's growing. I've said before, the freak community, the hacking community is kind of in a renaissance period, I thought.
Yeah.
So hopefully they're still out there. Anyway, off that soapbox, I didn't mean to turn it into that. It was basically a, yes, we're late again, sorry about that, bear with us. That's the short version. Now, as far as soapboxes, I don't know if you wanted to talk about this on the show. We were talking earlier about this. Well, did you? I'll leave it up to you then. Did you have something you wanted to talk about?
Yes, I do. I've been thinking about this for a while now. I don't know if a lot of other people have been thinking about it. Maybe you have. Maybe you're the perpetrator of it. This is for everyone.
No individual.
No individual will be mentioned in this. It'll be a open discussion. Well, not open discussion, but I'll say it and I'll leave it be, and you can. I love to hear emails, positive, negative, neutral, whatever, at mute@oldschoolfreak.com. So yeah, you could bash or love or whatever there. What I want to say is something that I've seen lately when I pop on the board now and then over my hiatus. It seems that there's a little hypocrisy going on. Let me go jump back a few months. Just think about this, okay? Us as hackers, no, don't get me wrong, we're good people, but the media doesn't like that. They don't like to talk about the good stuff.
Hackers don't do anything good.
Oh, see, this is what we're talking about. The media likes just like the bad thing side. That's what's entertaining. News is not important if it's truthful. It's important if it sells. So something usually bad sells. So, take for hackers, for instance, what do? Everyone thinks a hacker does something bad, and some do, but they're not hackers. They're criminals, as we said time and time over, so I'm not going to repeat that. So, yeah, I mean, everyone understands that, and I think Stank, everyone that I know that posts on the board knows this.
Right.
And is very strongly against this, and, you know, try to change it, but, you know, that'll never happen.
Right.
What I hate more than that is how we treat each other in the community. Now, Stan, could you enlighten us with a quote from the Hacker's Manifesto?
Well, which quote from the Hacker's
Manifesto? It's at the end of when he says, like, something about we are criminals, we are not criminals.
We
and then
exist.
It says something next. There's like 3 points.
Well, if you're going where I think you're going here, I think the line that you're referring to is we exist without skin color, without nationality, without religious bias.
Yeah, that's what I want to bring up. Now, that's kind of like this is saying equal opportunity for employers. You know, we don't care who you are, as long as you can do the job, we'll probably hire you. That's all that minority. I mean, that's the whole thing with. We got to treat everyone equally, or there's going to be like civil lawsuits everywhere. So, but within the community, I see a lot of hostility. Like, let me take for instance when someone brought up religion on the board.
Always a bad idea.
Always a bad idea because you piss so many people off.
Politics and religion. Yeah,
politics, religion, sexuality, whatever. Just, you know, don't talk about that on a board that's meant for that. Now there is an
no. Wait, whoa. Wait a minute. No, I disagree with that. I don't have it. There's nothing wrong with talking about that.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you're right. There's nothing wrong with talking about it. But when you make uneducated assumptions or just say it because you want to, I don't like it.
Well, I agree. I think. See, here's the thing. I agree with you, but I think, I like to think anyway, that hackers are. At least ideally, what you would imagine are supposed to be. See, we've, like you said earlier, we've been persecuted, for lack of a better word. We've been put down and treated one way by the media and been slanted and we've been painted in a bad light. You would think that a hacker, of all people, would be the most open-minded people in the world. Because we know what it's like to be on the receiving end of being put down and being insulted. Being painted to be the bad guys and evil and all that kind of stuff. You would think that hackers would be the most open-minded people in the world, but you're saying you don't always see that.
I don't. I mean, I see that when someone says, oh, what's for everyone's religion on the board, and then, you know, some people say whatever, and they say this or that and everything, and then someone comes on and says, oh, no, that's completely crap, it's all, that religion is nothing, there's nothing about it, it's all made up, and that's what I don't like, because people, I'm like, what are you doing? You're turning around complaining that you're not being treated fairly on the news, but then you come to pull 180 and make fun of this guy.
Yeah, there's some hypocrisy that, they don't like it when someone talks about how bad hackers are or how bad whatever, yet they will come on and bash someone because of their religion or bash the religion in general.
Yeah.
That's a little unnerving. I agree. A little hypocrisy going on there. Hypocritic attitude.
Yeah. You know, whatever. I mean, it is off topic. You know, I can't completely blame them. You know, they're posting at least in the right section.
Right. I was going to say that. It's in off topic, usually, and if not, we move it there.
Yeah.
But, so there's nothing.
It's fine. It's your free choice to speak like that. But, you know, not to be hypocritical myself, but you can't just say whatever you want. Because, I mean, if you say something, I mean, you got to be educated. If you say just whatever you want, it's probably wrong and someone's going to show you up on it.
Well, you can say whatever you want. I'm very, you know, I don't edit posts unless there's some personal attacks or something. For the most part, people are free to speak their mind. But the thing is, if you speak your mind and your mind isn't much to brag about, then people are going to see that.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you make a blind accusation or insult or, you know, talk about anybody who believes this is a bunch of idiots, well, okay, what about the people who believe hackers are good guys, hackers are bad guys, you get painted in these different lights, anybody who believes at blah, 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 it's very close-minded and one-sided. You know, if you don't agree with someone's religion, you can say, I don't agree with that, I think something else, I believe something differently. And even if you wanted to say, this is why I believe this, this is why I believe that, that wouldn't bother me. That wouldn't bother you, would it?
No, because, I mean, that's constructive.
Yeah, I think somebody, I'm not sure exactly what post it was, and we're not going to go, like I said, mention names, but yeah, it did start to get kind of insulting there about anybody who believes this is an idiot. How can you possibly believe that? Are you stupid? Those kind of things. Yeah, I saw some stuff like that going on, and I stayed out of it. Like I said, my attitude is I stand back, and I see and watch who posts that kind of stuff, and I think, you know, they drop a notch in my eyes because they're not open-minded, they're not willing to be understanding and accepting of other people and the differences, and it's the differences of people that makes the world go around.
Yeah, I don't want everyone to think, oh, they're the religious zealots. I mean, what are they doing? No, this is like just a general thing, and this is like the one thing I see on the boards. That's like the only thing. I mean, there's maybe other stuff. I don't read every single post.
Well, there's, you know, I think the same thing happens in politics a lot too, and that's why there's the two things that people say don't talk about.
Yeah.
It always turns into a fight or an argument, and people start getting into pissing contests about it. You know, they come out there and they want to bash one political party or the other, or just bash one president or the other. You know what? That can go back and forth all day long. Everybody, you're entitled to your opinion, and you can post it all day long, but if you don't back it up with some facts, some factual information, you just go out there and you say, this idiot did this and this idiot did that, and there's no facts to represent or support it. You know, or you preface it and say, in my opinion, I believe this, you know, but I think I get what you're saying. The overall tone you think has been a little unfriendly and a little unaccommodating.
Yeah, I mean, people got to be able to, if you're going to say something, and you're saying it's fact, show what's worth it said it's fact. I mean, and the other thing is that, even saying it's fact, if you give us, like, a link to some website, you can't. And the other thing is, if you say something that's on the internet, fact. Well, you don't know if it's. I mean, it's completely fact. You can't even really prove what's written on the internet is fact. You prove. I mean, you can just make up whatever you want. But I mean, what I'm saying is, you're right. You say this is opinion, and this is what I believe. So I mean, that could be fact. It could be opinion. So take it as you will.
Yeah, I think you got your point across. I think people know what we're saying. And, again, for me, I keep out of it. If I see, I treat those posts on off-topic just as I would as any of the other on-topic posts. There are certain people... Oh, I got to be careful here. Sometimes people will post, some more than others, in the different forums, replies or statements of as though they were fact when they are in actuality not. They are opinions, but they will be stated as though they are fact. And if that happens in the on-topic forums, and I know them to be incorrect, I will post a reply saying, no, 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 that's not right. Be careful what you say. This is a fact. Same thing holds true in off-topic. They may be more some more opinion-based things, but there also are some facts that can be pointed out, misconceptions. So, I personally, if there's somebody posts a completely false statement, then I'll reply and try to correct it. And otherwise, I stay out of it because what I said earlier, there's no point. There's nothing to be gained. If someone's that much of a zealot, and let me, I don't know if you're going to like me saying this, but it's on both sides too now, Mute. It's not just, you know, I know which side you're on, and I, you know, I'm on a certain side, and I'm not even going to say that on the air, but it also comes from our side to the others as well. Yeah. Not from us individually. I like to think that I'm pretty open-minded about all this, but, you know, it happens both ways.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that we're all...
Right.
I mean, we all have faults. I mean, we could say one thing and we're stretching the truth or also making the same problem by saying our opinions are facts, but I mean, I'm bringing my point up.
Right. Well, you know, back to what we said earlier. We exist without skin color, without nationality, and without religious bias. That's from the Hacker's Manifesto. And that's one of the creeds and one of the things... You know what? It's a forum. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what religion you are. It doesn't matter what country you're from. It does all of these things. Your sexual orientation, if you like to... I don't care. It's unimportant. It's so minor in the grand scheme of things. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. That's the message. You know what? Let's go into some freak news. Since you are the freak scout returning to the show... Let's go into some actual freak news, and let's go to some happier topics. Sound good? All right. I have some local freak news. I know Duel always talks about, Quest?
Yeah. I have the Southwestern.
I have Bell South.
Yeah.
I have Bell South as my hated company. Well, Florida legislature... recently approved rate increases for Bell South basic phone service. They're going to go up $3.14 a month over the next 3 years. Now, why? Why would the phone service go up? What's the point? What's the reason for it? You know, you're just going to arbitrarily give them more money? They're already multi-million, bazillion-dollar corporation. Well, my basic phone, and everybody, it's well-documented on the show, what a cheap ass I am. I just don't believe in paying... all these overpriced charges for these extra quote-unquote features that are already there and they could give me dirt cheap and easily, you know? I don't believe in paying all this overcharged money just to stuff their pockets. So I get the basic phone service, $11.04 a month. Of course, that's not what my phone bill is, but that's what the basic phone service costs. I don't need... all those other features, and they don't want to give them to me for a reasonable price to add them all on, so forget about it. $11.04 is what it costs for basic phone service. Of course, on top of that, they add on all these fees and all these extra taxes and blah, blah, blah. That $11.04 costs me $20.97 a month.
That's horrible.
21, almost double. Almost double the cost because of all the fees and taxes. Taxes are actually only a dollar or two. And you can't do much about that. What are you going to, you know, taxes are taxes. You're going to live, you're going to die, you're going to pay taxes. That's the three givens in life. But it's all these little fees and crap that they put on there. I mean, they're already feeing me to death. The whole point of getting a basic phone service is not to have to pay all those extra fees. I get charged $6.50 a month for network access charge. $6.50 a month! That's ridiculous. I've cut out all of the optional fees to get it down to $20.97. Most people probably pay upwards of $30 for that, quote, basic phone service. because they got that inside wiring fee and all these extra fees that you could really easily get rid of. Just call the phone company, ask them which ones are regulated, unregulated, which ones are optional, which ones can I get rid of safely without, you know. You get rid of your inside wiring. When's the last time you had to call somebody to come in and work on your phone? Never. Never. It'd be cheaper to pay it, if something happens, to pay them to come out and visit that one time, work for an hour, and pay the hourly labor fee, than it would be for all the money they're siphoning off of you in these monthly fees over the course of years and years. Ridiculous. Anyway, with all that stuff wiped off, I can't do anything about this network access charge. It's an FCC, quote, "The FCC charge for network access is a charge to recover costs associated with connecting to a telecommunications service provider's interstate network." $650 a month. I can get, how much is Net Zero a month? Or how much is one of those cheap ISPs?
You can get,
yeah, you can get the ISP to give you the access for less than the fee. That's crazy. $650, what are the, I don't, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. But, hey, it's there, and I think everybody, you have that on your phone? Well, you don't now, obviously, because you're on, yeah, so, I wish my cable company would get on the ball and hook up a cable modem, and I'll get rid of Bell South completely and go to Vonage myself.
There you go.
But, or Packet 8.
Packet 8, mm-hmm.
We'll listen and entertain both, because I've heard good and bad things about both. Decoder and those guys talk about that a lot. Over on Default Radio, cbzone.org. Pimp, pimp. Anyway, you know what else there is? You know what the fee is on there? There's a Telecommunications Act surcharge. So, wait a minute. We pass a law to help consumers. It's in favor of the consumers to break up the monopolies. Yet, we allow them to put a fee on the phone bill to charge us for that? I don't get it. So how are we better off now than when we were forget it, man. It's ridiculous. They're just screwing us under a different name. That's all they're doing, screwing us in a different way. Anyway, the price hikes that they're talking about, $3.14 they're going to add to our phone bills, affects those of us who are on the bottom line. It's going to go up from $11.04 to $14.18 a month. Over the course of 3 years, it's going to add, I think, like $1.15 each year or something like that. But they're doing it on the low-end phone people. And their rationale, their reasoning to justify this, is because they have to justify the money and the cost of offering premium services. Now, wait a minute. The whole point of having the low-end phone is to not have premium services. If I wanted premium services, I'd pay for premium services. But now, because they think they're losing money and, oh, well, we have to upgrade our equipment to provide premium services to everyone, whether they like them or not, it's only fair that we charge them for what they haven't asked for. Is that bizarre? Am I living in bizarro world? I mean, what the hell is going on here?
Well, you are living in Florida.
Well, you know what? That is a very good point. This is the most screwed up state in the entire union, the entire United States of America. Florida is always the most screwed up state. And actually, I think all of Bell South area. I don't think it's just Florida. I could be wrong. But I'll tell you this. Bell South serves Florida, Georgia, I think Mississippi, possibly Alabama, Mississippi, possibly Louisiana. I'm not sure about that one. But the Southeast region. So I don't know if they all get affected with this as well. I would assume, no. I'm sorry, they can't be, because this was done by Florida legislature, so this is just the state of Florida. So it's not all Bell South, it's only Florida Bell South. So I guess that's bad for me, but good for the rest of the Bell South customer area. But they probably will do something similar. But I just don't get it. That's just making me pay for voluntarily paying for it if I want it is one thing. It's nice to have the option, I guess. Some people use it. People like Decoder and some of these guys that they in Duel, they like having all this stuff. They use them. They actually have reason to use them. I'm going to have to pay for them now, whether I use them or want them or not. Maybe this is their way of breaking me down and making me pay for them and get on. As long as they're going to charge me, I might as well get the features, right?
There you go.
Ridiculous. Bell South sucks. That's it. That's the end of the story. Bell South just really sucks. Oh, and actually, this is very timely. On a related note, Bell South sucks again. Episode 24, and I don't know if you're caught up that far. You might still be back on episode 5.
Hey.
But anyway, on episode 24, we talked about Social Security numbers and how many places still use your SSN or the last four digits of your SSN.
Well, I mean, however, almost everyone uses them because they think it's safe.
Right. Well, and obviously we all know how not safe that they are. You can get SSN and SSN last four digit and all kinds of personal information, sometimes right from the same exact place. Like a bank, for example, they may want the last four of your social to make your default PIN, but you may be able to go over and have them print out a balance or something, and it has the social or account number. And there's ways right in front of you to get that social. And anyway, that's easy. You can find Social Security information very easy. Well, all right, my good friends at Bell South, since I'm bashing on them, they have something called the Right Touch Service, which that's an 800 number, one of those automated systems that will allow you to change your phone settings, options, features, stuff like that, via touchtone phone. You can dial up the number, you can say, yes, add this feature, change this, blah, blah, blah. And guess what the default four-digit PIN code is?
What is it?
Last four digits of the Social Security number. That's all. That's it. If you know the last four of the Social Security number of somebody, you can own them like that. I don't know if that... I snapped my finger. I don't know if that's going to pick up on the microphone there. But you can own somebody. You can totally fuck-sore somebody up if you know the last four social in so many different ways. And this is just one more. You can call up and you can... The touchstone will allow you to deactivate. You can deactivate your phone service with this. Call them up, cancel their phone service, or add a bunch of features. There's all kinds of stuff you could do with this. So the moral here is don't rely on the Social Security number. It's too open. It's too out there. It's a publicly usable, accessible number. And you can't, you know, you're not offering your clients and consumers protection by using something like that. So, for the freaks out there, if you want to play with Right Touch Service, it is 1-888-764-2500. And for the Trons of the world, I've already changed my default PIN, so bugger off. Anyway, so, oh yeah, and in case I didn't mention it enough, Bell South sucks. Now, I have actually... Let me see, how are we doing on time here? I wanted to do kind of a mini review on Sun's new JDS, which is their Java desktop system.
You hit it. We got plenty of time.
Plenty of time. How, do you know anything about this, or have you ever seen their new JDS?
Heard about it, but then I was refreshed when you told me.
Okay.
It sounded interesting.
It does. It sounds like a very interesting, well, for lack of a better word, Linux distribution. It's based on SUSE, however you want to pronounce it. It's based on a version of SUSE Linux, uses GNOME Desktop with Evolution, and it comes with J2SE. It comes with the standards basic like StarOffice, Mozilla, Evolution, blah, blah, blah. But what they're marketing it, and they're making this out to be the quote, and this is a quote from their site, the first viable Microsoft Windows alternative in years. Well, Linux has been around for quite a while, and it's a viable alternative if you ask me, but okay, now that you put the Sun name on it, I guess it's an even better alternative. My friend Womp, had a copy of this, and we were playing around with it. I didn't get to do a whole lot of detail, that's why this is kind of a mini review. I didn't really get to go into a lot of detail on it, but what I can tell you is that it's beautiful to look at. It's a very nice-looking distro, very clean. What I liked and what I think they had an advantage on is that they used... they did a good job at making GNOME and Linux and or Linux using GNOME look a lot like Microsoft's Luna interface. They very much made the start menu similar to Microsoft. They very much tried to organize things and make everything look and feel like Windows XP, which I know some people hate it, but in the grand scheme of things, I think that's a very good thing. It allows people to get more comfortable or more familiar with a different operating system without a huge, very life-altering change to a different Windows system, you know?
I think even though it looks the same, I mean, this is done, tried to be done with Lindos, and that obviously failed.
Lindos sucks, too.
Burning pile of dog shit.
Yeah, Lindos was... I tried Lindos. It was horrible.
Yeah.
It was just horrible.
The problem I see, and I don't think this is ever going to happen, unless a drastic change arises. And they kind of... it's paradoxical. Well, the killer app for Windows, I think a lot of people agree with me here, is Office. Specifically Word.
Okay.
Because everyone knows it, everyone does it, everyone has to type a paper in their lives, and almost all of them use Word or an Office product.
Well, a very large quantity.
Very large.
Yes.
I mean, I know a lot of people, they use Word Perfect or they go to OpenOffice, but the big majority is Word.
Okay.
And you're never going to see Word on Linux, only if Linux got more market share than Windows, but they can't fill their out because you can't have one with the other.
Well, they have a port of Microsoft Office for Macintosh, as you're well aware.
True, but...
And that's a much small market share compared to Microsoft Windows.
But that's not much of a threat because they can control them. Because, A, they own a part of it.
True.
And, B, not a lot of people want to pay that much more money for a Mac. And there's, I mean, it's all negligible, but their direct competitor, if you call it a competitor, is Linux. So, I mean, you'll never get a Word, you'll never get the name brand Word on Linux without Linux being bigger, and you'll never see that without Word, so you can never have it. But you do see Word, like OpenOffice and that stuff on Linux.
Which supports the Microsoft yep. Word formats and Excel formats.
So, it's okay. So you're never going to see a lot of people unless you get this, like, massive migration of programmers saying, hey, let's go to Linux and develop over there. And you're never going to do that because they're easier with Windows.
Well, you have to give, I don't know, credit, but you have to give some credibility, I guess, or some... You have to give a nod to Microsoft for providing a lot of information, a lot of development kits and stuff like that to develop things for Windows and under Windows, whether it's Visual Studio or something like that that you purchase, or one of the numerous TechNets and TechNet briefings and CDs and developer kits you can download. And
so much stuff is amazing.
Tons of stuff. Now, granted, it's not all free.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, the majority of it's probably not, but it's available, and the difference is, the reason it's not all free, well, there's the obvious reason they want to make money, but also they gear it towards corporations and companies and stuff to pay for it so that their users and developers can develop under Microsoft Windows,
yeah.
Whereas Linux and all of the derivations thereof, you can write in plain old C using a free compiler, and, you know, create stuff, nothing to do, irrelevant, irregardless of Windows. So, the killer app, well, I don't know if Logan and I had a conversation about this before, about the killer app, and I don't know how you feel about this, but we kind of came up with the idea that possibly the killer app is Virtual PC.
Or...
where you could run applications or run something inside a virtual PC window, and you can run a Linux box, yet still within virtual PC run Microsoft Office.
This is possible. The problem there is you're going to need a much faster computer.
True.
And a lot more RAM.
Right, and we did mention that.
And you're going to eventually reach the point where that's possible because just because that's how technology works. So in that regard, one day you might see that. Because you'll get computers better, faster, more memory, and cheaper. So, hey, you know, we could run that. And then, let's see, virtual PCs, it's also using Windows still, though. So, I mean,
right, well,
see
you
some
know.
Action there.
Yeah, yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But that type of software, anyway.
Well, it's just read on Slash today that someone, some consortium or whatever organization said that a lot of more businesses are wising up to Linux and saying, you know, it's better. So, because of security things, and because it's free, so, I mean, you know, you're not going to see a big shift on the desktop market, but I don't think a lot of people were ever going to expect a big shift onto the desktop market for Linux
to begin with. I think there is a small shift, though, which is a good start. It's a good start.
Yeah.
And this, back to this Java desktop, could have been another small step, another way to boost it up, because, like I said, it looks very much like Luna. Looks very much like Windows XP interface. So you would get some people who could migrate more easily and more comfortably because they're kind of used to that. Now, the big difference here is that because it's from Sun, they're obviously, the big push for it was Java. It's called Java Desktop System. I wasn't able to find out if they actually still even had a GCC compiler or anything like that. But what it definitely did have and did tout was the Java application tools. And that's basically the heart of what this distro is about. They're pushing Sun products and Sun Java. And what we just said about Microsoft and their development kits, they sell to corporations and they want them to pay for it and develop. Well, Sun, on the other hand, wants people to develop under Java and wants people to use their Java development tools, which they provide versions of free. They have paid versions, but they also have free versions. So they bundled, there's the bundle word Microsoft uses a lot. They bundled, or part of their distro is that they give you all these Java applications to use, and they want you to develop stuff not only for the Java desktop system itself, but any of all of Linux. I mean, Java being platform independent, for the most part, that could be a whole other conversation, is a way to kind of combine those two things together. You can give them a desktop environment and the tools to develop under said environment. So they're trying to tie all these things together, and it's really, I think it's a good idea. It really is a good idea. Also, all the bundled apps that came with it, they were very careful, like Mozilla, for example. All of those apps support Java. They all include Java support. Everything that they included with this distribution was Java related. They don't include OpenOffice.org. They include StarOffice, which is Sun's Office product. So they bundle all of these things together to release. Basically, this is the all Java developers Linux distro. Like I said, I don't know if it had still also had the GCC and C compiler, etc., etc. It may still have that as well. I would hope so. It could be possible they stripped it and it's Java only. I wish I had more time to have looked at it. Maybe a more in-depth review later. But like I said, this theoretically it's actually an interesting distro. I don't know if good is the word, but it's interesting. And I do think that there are a lot of big companies. They would break into that corporation or companies where Microsoft is trying to get their market share. Like we said earlier, they're getting developers to develop under Windows by providing this. Well, now Sun is providing an operating system and development tools for said operating system. They might actually slip in, and maybe that's why they said earlier, a Windows alternative. They're kind of giving people a platform and a lot of help to develop for this. Now, again, platform independent, so it should work across platforms, across different versions and flavors of Linux, but without some hands-on, that wouldn't be for sure. But the problem, there's one big problem with this distro, and I guess I shouldn't call it a distro. I shouldn't call it a Linux distro, because Linux distributions, you can download the source code for free, compile it for yourself. It's under the GPL. This one's not. Which kind of irks me a little bit. And Voodoo Hal and I got into a a discussion about this, and we might bring this up next week again, about the GPL and the GPL loopholes. Basically, the Java desktop system, Sun's JDS, is $100 per desktop per year. Per year! I mean, at least Microsoft is pay it once and you're done. Per year, it's an annual fee. Now, I don't understand. They come right out and admit that it's based on SUSE. It comes with all these free applications. Even the Java stuff, the Sun products like StarOffice and J2SE and stuff, blah, 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 are freely available. They release them for free, trying to get a foothold and get developers to take on. So all those are free. They may not be free source under the GPL, but they are free products. Yet somehow, they're able to charge $100 per year for this. So I don't like that. I don't like the idea of that. They're taking stuff that the open source community and hackers, which that's people that developed this. There's a lot of hackers that developed this or helped developing in Linux over these years, and now Sun is going to come in and take all the hard work of the open source community and all these free products and these GPL products, bundle them together, include their little bit of Java on top of it, and somehow they're okay to charge for it?
Sounds like when Windows took someone else's, when they made like DOS,
mm-hmm.
They took DOS from some other dude and resold it.
I just don't get this. And people, if you go out and the advocates of it, they'll fight and argue claiming that everything is free and open source, but they can't combat the fact that you have to pay for this thing. Where is the source code for me to download? So anyway, I like it. I like the distro. I like the interface. I like the look and feel of it. I like the idea of it. I like Java. I do. I like Java. I think it's a good, it's decent. It's good for what it, it has good things and has bad things about it. And to base a whole distro providing a bunch of development tools and stuff is a very good thing. But it's a good, potentially good distribution that was ruined by greed. I mean, if they release this for free, or at least the source for free so that people can make their own, maybe not an ISO, but that would be nice too. If this was free, I would highly recommend it. I would put it on a box. I would absolutely, undoubtedly put this on one of my boxes at home and try it and play with it and actually learn from it. But I won't do it for $100 a year. So I can't recommend it at $100 a year. That's, I guess, my review. If you got to pay for it, nope. You'd be better off sticking with any other Linux. As a matter of fact, go get SUSE that it's based on. Whatever version it's, I think it was SLC 1.0. Whatever version it's based on, go get that. Then download the free Java development kit. And then download Mozilla. And then download the StarOffice. And put it all together yourself. Probably get just as good a results. Now, we have a little time left. And I have another topic. Am I cutting you off? Did you want to talk about anything?
No, I'm good. Just keep going.
Okay.
Keep going.
There's a new... This is not new, actually. This is not new at all. But this buzzword, I've never heard this buzzword before, and that is cluster bombs. There are email cluster bombs is the terminology. That, and it caught my eye, of course. What? Email cluster bomb? What the... So I checked this out. This is, like I said, it's not a new trick. There's nothing new about this. But, here's the foundation. I think everybody knows, and probably at some time might have done this. You can go to a website and sign up for their newsletter, place an order, request for information, join their mailing list, blah, 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 by putting in your email address and clicking subscribe me or enter or, clicking on the OK button, whatever. Well, you put in someone else's email, of course, they're going to get the email. It doesn't confirm that. It doesn't really have a way of confirming whether that person actually submitted the request, right? You with me?
No, I'm with you so far.
Right? That's nothing new. That's old. That's silly,
Yeah.
Well, the one small attempt at stopping this from being a big problem, because a long time ago that was a big problem. You'd go out and in a period of 5-10 minutes you could have people subscribe to so many mailing lists that it would just completely flood their inbox. So very early on in mailing list history, they added the confirmation email where you have to reply back saying, yes, I did request this, go ahead and add me. You'd have to confirm it. So therefore, you would have to have access to said email address to confirm that you wanted to be subscribed. So the worst you could do was send one email to your victim. The victim would say, oh, no, I don't want to subscribe to your mailing list, blah, you know, and it's over with. Well, what? I'm sorry?
But you just send them a bunch of confirmation emails?
Well, and there you go. And that's at fundamentally what the email cluster bomb is. You can put in your email, the target's email address, and send them a confirmation message. And in a matter of 5 or 10 minutes, you might find a dozen of those. Well, that's not really enough to bother them, a dozen emails. I mean, it's going to annoy them, but they probably get a dozen or more spam messages anyway. So it's still not quite a cluster bomb. However, we talked about this on the show a while back, too. I don't remember who it was, but we talked about a denial-of-service attack on cell phones. You can send a message to a cell phone by sending it to the number at whatever.tmobile.com or singular.net or whatever. You know, you could send it to that person's phone number, and we talked about, you know, writing a script that would just send a message over and over to an email. Well, when you combine that idea that we talked about on the show with something like this, suddenly you're sending a bunch of confirmation emails and sending stuff to people's cell phone that's a massive distributed denial of service attack on a cell phone. Not only on an inbox, but on a cell phone.
That's even worse because the data rate of a cell phone.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, again, a dozen of these is annoying, but not such a big deal. But I think we all know that writing a script to automate this is pretty easy to do.
I did it to a friend.
Crawl out there looking for, are they still a friend?
Oh, yes. I did a couple of funny stuff to them, but that's not here nor there.
Well, you know, this could be a very widespread, enormous attack if done right. If the script is done intelligently, somebody did it as a test on, made up an email address and see what the results look like and fine-tuned it. There are vulnerability scripts out there, tons of vulnerability assessing programs. It'll go out and find flaws. You can write a very similar one that goes out from server to server, a robot, a spider, that goes out and checks, do they have a send mail CGI script out there? And if they see it, start sending out addresses. So you don't have to have a list of them. You don't have to know which websites to go to. Just write a spider to go out there and check, gather them up, and then, bam, automate the whole process. And all of a sudden, it's not a dozen, it's not 100, it's thousands or tens of thousands of, again, it doesn't have to be subscribing to mailing lists, just confirmation messages. And you have a denial of service attack. You're going to completely blow someone's inbox up, and thus the word email cluster bomb.
We're almost out of time, but I want to bring up one more point.
Shoot.
Which is about, you know, stupidity. And remember all back in the day when we got those, remember that there's an email virus fad? Like, there's different one every week.
Right.
Right, like, you know, love San Millis or whatever. Well, there's a new one out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not over the mail. It's over AIM. I mean, you may have seen this. A lot of people have seen it. You know, it says, like, I have, like, it's in their person's profile. I found pictures of screen name, insert screen name here. Here you go, ha-ha, and it's a link. And you click that link, and it puts that thing in your profile, and you can never get rid of it. It's a virus.
Hmm.
So where stupidity comes in. When people just click blindly on things, they have no idea what they are. And I ran into this when I clicked it. But I was on a Mac box.
So you were stupid enough to click it.
Yeah, I clicked it because I just didn't care. and it was a Mac. I'm a Mac box. It doesn't do to me. But so like all my friends have this thing. I'm like, what the fuck? So yeah, I find out it's a virus, and I put a link in mine to say click this to get rid of it. Because some people have it. Well, then are they wise? Some people start getting rid of it. No, they made a new version. That's spreading now too.
I have not heard of this, and I might have to do a little research for the next show
sure,
so
yeah.
we can give them some names and stuff about it. You can forward me some information.
Yep. But we're out. We're done.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me... Okay. The about this cluster bomb, it strikes me as funny about this because it's very ironic that normally a denial of service, this is a distributed denial of service. It's not just a normal DOS. This is a DDoS. And instead of having a bunch of Trojans installed on a bunch of different machines and then attacking a target system, it's very ironic that you're actually using a bunch of different websites, a bunch of different machines and servers out there to attack one target machine. You don't have to install Trojans. You don't have to make zombie machines out there to do this kind of stuff. You can use what's in existing systems that are out there that just have this, quote, feature to target anyone if written properly. Like I said, I foresee this happening within the next few months. Now, there is a solution for this, and Indiana University has their computer scientist, his name is Filippo Menser. His suggestion, and this is very valid, simple but valid, says that you simply eliminate the confirmation email. If people want to go subscribe to something intentionally, they go to the site, they put in their email address and say, subscribe me. Well, instead of sending a confirmation to the user, let the user go back on their own, send a follow-up email to the server again from their email address, and let them confirm themselves. Put the directions on the web page that say, click here, step one, click here to subscribe with your email address. Step two, send an email to verify at whatever to verify it. So that way it doesn't send any email messages out and fixes the problem. Now, yes, that's a solution, but everybody has to do that. Everybody in the world has to do that and follow that logic for that to work. Obviously, if 50% of the websites do that, the other 50% that aren't could still be used for this. So unless it's globally accepted, that's going to be very, very, very tough to defeat. I think it's going to be around, and I think you're going to see a lot of them. In the year 2004, definitely, I think you're going to read about this.
Yeah.
Email cluster bombs. That's the buzzword. They love tying the word bombs to the word hacker. They love it. So, who am I to question? I might as well just go along with it, right?
There you go.
All right, but yes, like you said, I think we are out of time. So, let's wrap it up here. I know, first of all, this is the week for 2600 meetings. Am I correct?
Yes, you are correct.
And this is going to be the first meeting of 2004. Like I said, 2004, January 2nd, 2004, your 2600 meetings. Check and make sure yours is still on. Since it is on the 2nd, people may still be out of town, they may still be hungover, they may still be whatever, and it may have been postponed a week, it may be skipping this month. So check and make sure that yours is still on. Mine is, so I will be going this week. Since it is 2004, I guess this is as good a time as any to wish everyone a Happy New Year.
Woo-hoo.
So Happy New Year from Binary Revolution Radio. And for my shout-outs, I'm going to shout out our good friend, Nick84, who is really been tied up with school and a lot of stuff lately, but still somehow managed to rewrite his content management system, wrote it himself. He didn't, put on some other canned thing. He wrote one himself. So look for updates to Root Secure soon after the new year. I think he's planning on launching it on January 1st or sometime soon thereafter. So he gets my shout-outs this week. Mute, did you have any shouts?
No, I thought I had some at the beginning of the show, but I forgot them all.
If you want to contact us, radio@binrev.com, or if you want to contact Mute directly,
mute@oldschoolfreak.com.
Okay, and our closing music is, I got this from a Flash animation I found on the web that I thought was funny, so I went out and found the MP3 of it. It is Group X, and the song is called Mario Twins, and that does it. So Mute, thank you for being back on the show. I know you've been tied up with school and you had the whole Christmas holidays. Merry Christmas to you. Belated. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Glad to have you
back on the show. And next time you get a break, make sure you let me know. Definitely after the school year, but then you're going to bolt off to, do you want to make, is it official? Do you want to say?
No, it's Notre Dame.
You're going to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Congratulations. You got accepted everywhere that you submitted anyway.
Yeah, so I mean, and as Duel predicted, you know, Duel, we got to reach back into when I was in Radio Freak America, and he said, I think he said this on air, I don't know if he said it, I remember he told me a bunch of times, like, You apply, you're going to get in, and you know it was true.
I said the same thing. I knew absolutely. The world is your oyster, Mute. The world is your oyster. So, all right, go to Notre Dame, put the honeys on lockdown.
Oh, there they are.
Put the honeys on lockdown. See if you can hook up the football team, man. What's up with that?
Yeah, they're slacking.
Yeah, they fell off, man. Notre Dame football losing. Come on, man, you got to do something about that. I'm expecting big things from you at college, man.
Big things.
Honor roll, rolling in the honeys, mo money. You're going to be hooking it up, right?
Oh, without a doubt.
You also got to bring me up to Notre Dame, man. You got to bring me up there for a visit so I can check out some of the hoes. No, seriously, though, congratulations. It is very cool that you get into something like that. And make the best of it, man. Don't worry about the show. Anytime you get a break, we'll put you in here as much as we can. So that's it for me. You know what? All you. I'm not even going to interrupt. Why don't you close out the show, and then we'll go to the closing music.
All right. Time to bust up this 2K3. Next year we got, you know, Hope 2004. Hope to all see you there. So I'm going to see you right back on this hack time, same hack channel. Late.
Hey, Splay.
Shiggity, shiggity, Schwerf.
Guess what, idiot? What you did today?
Hey,
I got a new Super 88 system.
You did not.
Swear to God, I got it at Chunky's for $2.
Oh, yeah? Let me see it. Wow.
You like that, idiot.
I do.
I got it. You don't. Shut up.
God damn.
Hey, guess what?
What?
It has new game.
What game?
I want to play it. It is called Mario Twins. They look the same.
Wow.
Good God.
I'm ready.
They look so goddamn like the same person. I would say to them, you want ice cream cone? Both of them say yes. How in the hell?
They are twins,
what
that's why.
Hey, let's play it. Ready?
All right.
Do it.
There it goes. Da 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 da
do it.
Princess, she's in another house, go away.
What in the hell she's doing? Hey, crap on this. Let's go play Super Mario's Punch-Off.
Alright, let's quit this game.